So last week we had begun the 21st chapter, Recharge the Mind. And the point that we had covered is that we are constantly busy. Our mind is constantly exposed to noise, either the surroundings or we create it ourselves. Our radio is running in the car, TV constantly blaring in the house. If we have nothing else to do, we go to Facebook and WhatsApp and messages keep bombarding us, our eyes, our ears. And we really don't know what to do with ourselves when we are alone and we have nothing to do. But our rishis tell us that in the silence of meditation, we say silence, that's a wasted time, it's empty. What should I do with silence? I need stimulation. But the silence of meditation is not emptiness. It is filled with tremendous potential, tremendous energy, energy of vitality, of consciousness. And great accomplishments can occur in this silence. You can reach the highest truth. You can come up with wonderful ideas. All our Vedas, our Upanishads were heard by the sages in their silence of their meditation, and they compose them. So a mind that is silent discovers its absence of the world. In the silence, there is no objects, no emotions, no thoughts, not even I, the perceiver, feeler, and thinker, not even the body, mind, and intellect. In the deep silence of meditation, your only experience is of Om, of the silence, the Lord within. And ultimately, all this falls off, and you discover that that is my higher nature. That alone is the truth, and that alone I am. These are clothes I wear. I wear this body is a cloth, which I drop at the time of death and pick up a new body. This mind and intellect are my equipment. This world is just an appearance. The truth is that I, that consciousness. So that is what we had discussed last week, that we should search for this silence. And that is the goal of meditation. But then they say, okay, if you discover the silence, then what will you find? He said, then you will discover Brahman. Brahman is the Lord, the substratum, the support of the entire universe. The entire universe is supported by that consciousness. You can call it Father in heaven, you can call it Allah, you can call it the all-pervading consciousness or the Lord, and that everything in the world emerged from that, and so did I. And so that Brahman is the support of everything, is the origin of everything, including me. So that Atman is this consciousness that is within me, but we think of it as my consciousness and her and his consciousness. But there is only one consciousness which is pervading the entire universe. So you can call it Brahman, you can call it Atman, or you can call it I. I means I, not this lower I, not this I that's called Anil or Neeru or Tony, not I that is a male or female, or but I, the consciousness, the higher. So there is a lower individuality. My lower nature is this body, mind, and intellect, but my higher nature is that I. Now, what are the qualities of this Brahman, of this consciousness, which are also my qualities? And that's very important. And the teacher in the chapter number 21, when you go home and read, has just listed these qualities. Attached I am I, immortal am I. So I am unattached, I am immortal, I am existence, consciousness, bliss, I am eternal, I am ever pure, I am liberated. Those are listed in your book. But I thought we should spend a little time talking about each one of those qualities. They have not been described in the book. They have just been listed. So we'll try to cover them in detail, each one of those qualities. It might take a few weeks to cover them, but these are very important points in meditation. In my meditation, I should understand that I am not the body. I am not the mind. I am not the intellect. I am that Atman, the self, the consciousness. And so these qualities of God or Brahman are my qualities. Again, my, not me this individuality, but me that consciousness. So that I, one has to identify with the higher self, and that one is everywhere. So let us start with who am I? So the first point, actually this chanting is available on YouTube. If anybody is interested, I can give you the site where you can listen to the chanting. I also have it on my phone. I can forward it to you because it's in Sanskrit. It's very beautiful, and the Swamiji who has chanted it, it's a very beautiful chanter. So you can listen to that, but follow with the book. So it says, I can play it for meditation today. I can do that. Yeah, so we can listen to it. No, we'll play it on the speaker. Yeah, after we do the breathing, just play that and then think of these thoughts. So I am unattached. Now this unattached, people think of unattached being cold. That I'm cold, I don't care. I don't care, I'm not attached to anybody. When they say unattached, because God is unattached. See, if he was to be attached, then what should he do? In one, some place somebody is happy, another place somebody is sad. Should he be happy for the happy or sad for the sad? He is beyond all of those because he is the consciousness that illumines joy and sorrow both. Joy and sorrow are both in that consciousness. A person who is alive is also joyful, and another person who is alive is sorrowful. They both have the same life, but depending on their state of their mind, depending on their body, they may have joy and sorrow. So you and I also have joys and sorrows, physical joys and sorrows. Sometimes body is healthy, sometimes not healthy. Sometimes mind is upset, sometimes mind is calm, sometimes I am confused, sometimes it's clear. But through all of that, if I identify with this body, mind and intellect, that is called attachment. And attachment not only to my body, but to other bodies. You know, I depend on so and so for my happiness. If she smiles at me, or if he says hello, or if he... So attachment is depending on either my body or other bodies. So this Mahatma, this great soul, realizes that I am that consciousness, and no matter what happens to my body, what happens to my mind, my body one day will get old and die, my mind will get intellect, I remain the same. I am ever youthful, I am ever unchanged, because that consciousness was there, is there, and always will be there. Even before the world was there, it was there. Even when the world came, it is there. Even when the world finishes, ends, that consciousness will be there. It never gets old. Talking about old, do you know why people over 70 should always valet park? You know why? Because valet never forgets where he has parked your car. Actually, talking about 70, when I was young, I always forgot where I parked my car. So,
not only old,
but so that consciousness never gets old. Then it is immortal. What do we mean by immortal? Immortal is undying. And we know that God never dies. He was there, is there, always is there. So when they mean immortal, that means it is the same in past, present and future. In waking, dream and deep sleep. It is never perishes. Our body is born and will die. The plants are born, will die. Fish, animals, even buildings. Unfortunately, we are seeing so much destruction with this hurricane. These buildings and this islands were so beautiful, and today they are finished. So destruction will happen to anything that is on this earth. There is nothing on this earth that is permanent, but I as the consciousness am immortal. So even if my body perishes, if my body goes down and tomorrow God forbid something happens and my body is decaying, my body is dying, but I am that immortal self, so nothing will happen to me. So that is called immortality. Immortality does not mean living forever in this body. Nobody can live forever in this body. The day you are born, your date of birth is written and the date of death is already written. The certificate has already been printed. All it needs is for you to find out what is the date of my death. So So immortality means understanding that I am immortal, I never perish, because I am that consciousness. I am not this body, I am not this male or female, I am that immortal consciousness. So understanding that is immortality. The next point is existence. And existence is pretty much we have covered in immortality or unattached, but to some extent we can talk about what is this existence. Now, I was young, I was a child, then I was a youth, then I was did all my foolishness, then I was grew up, then I'm middle-aged, then old. But that I is constant. I was always there. I remember my when I was 5 years old, I remember when I was 10, 20, 30. I remember all my hallmarks, all when I went to college, when I went to school. All those I remember, so that I that was ever there is that consciousness. It's not the ego, because the ego is changing. The ego, the little I that I think myself to be, is changing. Like one day I'm very happy, very successful. Oh, I have built such a big house. I have so much wealth. I have property. I have a big car. And I'm so proud. And then suddenly I find the empty lot. My neighbor has two lots and has built, you know, a house which is twice the size, bigger than mine, more beautiful, has three cars, better than I am. Then my ego gets... So the ego is changing. But what is not changing is this I, this consciousness, which is existence, which ever exists. So in childhood, in youth, in middle age, old age, it is there. Even after death, it continues. That's why people say, what will happen to me after death? You know, people always want to know. And they say, well, you go to heaven or hell. But what we believe is this heaven or hell is a temporary place. And then you come back and continue your journey. But this I, this consciousness, which is universal consciousness, not my individual, but that universal consciousness, I identify as me, and he thinks is he, and she thinks it is her. So that is existence, that ever exists. But this existence is not inert. It's like not like a rock. The rock also exists, right? The rock is there. It's been there for maybe 10,000 years, maybe a billion years. 100 million years, ever since the first volcanoes happened 100 million years ago, this rock is sitting there. So it's not the inertness of the rock. It is conscious. It is knows itself. A rock does not know itself. A rock, like the table, does not know itself. The mic does not know itself. Whoever is speaking, the mic will reproduce. But an intelligent person knows. So I know that I am sitting on the chair, but the chair doesn't know that I'm sitting on it. So it is conscious. It is alive. It is sentient. And not only that, but this consciousness lends its sentiency to every one of us. I'm talking because consciousness is in me. You are listening because consciousness is in you. Trees are growing. Wind is moving, the plants are, you know, growing, the animals are moving, fish are swimming. So this consciousness is everywhere, all pervading, and gives life to all. But it's not of the nature of misery. See, they say, well, God, maybe he's happy. You know, they say, oh, even the heavens are crying. Or how can God be happy when the whole world is miserable? It's not like that. As I said, people, there are some happy, some unhappy. Maybe one place there is a death, another place there is a birth. One place somebody is failing, another place somebody is graduating, you know, with honors. You know, one place somebody is being laid off, other place getting a promotion. So the world is going to be conscious, but the Lord himself is of the nature of bliss. And I also, when I discover the inner consciousness, I discover that inner bliss. See, for us, happiness or pleasure is something that is dependent on an object. Like I eat an ice cream or a slice of pizza, I'm happy, or a chocolate, or I get a diamond or a new dress or a new car or new golf clubs or a promotion. So we, our happiness depends on objects. Or if we see a beautiful scenery, you know, we get happiness. But the one who has discovered the inner truth does not depend on objects. So his happiness is called bliss. with what is bliss, the difference between bliss and pleasure. Pleasure is dependent on objects. Bliss is internal. It does not depend on any objects. This reminds me of a very, very beautiful story. So it was a summer morning, you know, it was beautiful morning. The gentle breeze was blowing. The sun was just rising. It was very pleasant, neither cool nor hot. And the birds were chirping on the mountainside and everything was so pretty. You know, the flowers were up there blooming. And so some people were walking and enjoying the beauty. Wow, it's a wonderful day. And then there was a cave, and they knew that there was a monk who used to meditate there, a sadhu, a saint who used to meditate there. So they said, let's see if he's inside or if he's outside enjoying. And they looked, and he's in the dark corner, you know, sitting in one corner with his eyes closed. And they said, wow, look at this beautiful sunrise and these mountains and this pretty flowers, and he's missing all that. So they said, let's recall him. So, you know, they kind of call him Mahatmaji, you know, Maharaji, you know, like, sir, can you please come out? He said, why should I come out? He said, look how beautiful it is outside. He said, bahar aiye, dekhiye kitna sohana mausam hai. Come outside and see how beautiful it is. So he says, come inside. It is even more beautiful inside. Andar aiye, andar aur bhi suhana mausam hai. Come inside and it is even more beautiful. These mountains and this are beautiful, no doubt. But the joy that he is getting in the depth of his meditation is unparalleled. So they say that even million times or billion times of this joy that you get in the world is that joy of that realized master who is several million, billion times more joy he is experiencing or she is experiencing. So that is called bliss, and that is not dependent on objects but is self-generated, like that monk. I mean, yeah, he would have gone out and enjoyed the scenery. It's not that he's not going to say, yes, it is beautiful. But he doesn't need that to be happy because he has found the happiness within. If it is there, good. If he comes out, yes, he will say, yeah, it is so beautiful. But he did not feel the need to come out because he was in such ecstasy. He was in such bliss. And it's not the bliss of LSD, not the bliss of drugs, not the bliss of alcohol, not the bliss of sleep even, but it is the bliss of awareness. Awareness of the inner self. So that is the bliss. And then it is eternal. Eternal we have understood already. We have talked about, was always there, is there, will always be there, unchanging, never dying, eternal. So these are all the qualities in that book. And what you should do is when you meditate, pick up one or two of these qualities that you feel special. They pertain to you. Maybe I am unattached, or I am immortal, or I am bliss, or I am consciousness. So pick one or two of these and meditate on those qualities. Then it says ever pure. What do we mean by ever pure? When does something become impure? When something that does not belong is added in it, like say you have a glass of fresh milk and some dirt falls on it, in it, or you know, some insect crawling falls in it, you throw it away. Why? Because it has become impure. Or you know, sometimes people, you know, they will sell you a product which they'll say is 80% pure, but actually will be only 40 or 60%. You know, they will cheat you. So it will not have the purity. So what is pure is that which is by itself, nothing else in it. Just as that milk, when it is by itself, but anything falls in it becomes impure. So when they say ever pure means there is nothing else in that consciousness to contaminate it. That is by itself pure, uncontaminated. You and I get contaminated because we are so involved in the world. We are so attached. We are so dependent. When it's not saying that one should not love my near and dear ones. We should love people. We should serve them. Because serving and loving is the only way to reduce our vasanas. And the less vasanas we have, the closer we come to God. So we should love. We should serve. We should help. But not be dependent. Not be attached. So ever pure means nothing can affect that my purity, because that consciousness is not even part of this world. It supports the world but is not part of the world. That is the beauty of this connection between God and us. God supports us but is not part of us. Even he supports us as consciousness, as Om, but still is not part of us. It is a support. It is the example which we have talked about is like the rope and the snake. You know, we have heard that example before, where the rope is there and people mistake it for a snake because they don't see it in the dark. But the rope is there, but the rope appears as a snake. So similarly, this consciousness appears as this world, but it is actually nothing but that Lord. It is only you and me that we, when we don't see the rope, we project a snake upon it in the darkness. So similarly, when we don't see God in everybody, then we project all the differences. I like her, I don't like him, she's my friend, she's my... So ever pure means not affected, not depend, not nothing else is contaminating. And liberated is also the same thing. Liberated again means that the world can no longer affect him. That's called moksha. That is called liberation. And that is the goal of every human being. That at least should be our goal. At least those who come to this meditation class should have the goal of liberation, that I should be free from my body attachments, free from my mental dependence, from my hang-ups, free from my intellectual confusions. So I am that pure consciousness. And so liberation is when you realize that you are not this body, that I'm using this body. Does not mean you don't take care of the body, doesn't mean you don't nourish the body, doesn't mean you don't feed the body. Take care of the body as best as you can, but realize it is my car. And when my car gets old, I drop the car and buy a new car. So similarly, when my body gets old, I'll drop the body and pick up a new body. Nothing happens to me. That is moksha and that is liberation. And then the last point we'll talk about is, it is all pervading. All pervading means everything is that. The chair is that, the mic is that, the cup, the glass, the table, the humans, the birds, the plants, everything is pervaded by that consciousness. Just as space pervades everything. Space is everywhere. It's in this glass, it is under the table, it is in the room. There is a room space, and then if there is a pot, there may be pot space, and then there is the total space. Space is everywhere. It's even inside us. You know, we have space inside our digestive system, in our head. Some of us have a lot of space. And
but
so
everything is in space.
Right.
Everything is in space.
In space, right.
Not it is in everything.
Right.
Everything is in space.
In space, yeah. So,
and this is subtler than space, so everything
right.
is in.
Exactly, that's the point. So space is inside and outside, and we are all in space. We are, space is everywhere and we are in space, and but space is pervading even the inside. It's not only outside, but it is in and out everywhere. So this consciousness is called as all pervading because it's subtler than space. It even pervades space. As far as space can go, trillions and trillions of miles, it even extends beyond that. So even space is supported by this consciousness. It is pervaded. So even when there is nothing, there is no world, there are no planets, no stars, nothing, there's only space, consciousness is there. Consciousness is there even in space. Even where space ends, where there is afterward, there is no space, that consciousness is there. Not only in this world, but it is there in heaven, it is there in hell. There are seven heavens and there are six hells. There are 14 worlds that are described, different levels of heaven and hell, but that consciousness is pervading each and every one of them, and it is homogeneous. Homogeneous means it is the same. The consciousness is as much in the dog as it is in the monk. It is as much in the criminal as it is in the saint. It is as much in the rock as it is in a realized master. It's the expressions are different. Expression, the wise person is wise because of his vasanas. An evil person is evil because of his vasanas. A sportsman is playing sports because of his vasanas. A dancer is dancing because of her vasanas. So it is the vasanas that determine, but the consciousness in us is homogeneous. So there is no difference between a saint and a sinner when it comes to consciousness. Of course, when it comes to vasanas, when it comes to their desires, thoughts, their actions are very different. A saint is different from a criminal. But the consciousness within, the Lord within, is the same. There is no difference. So far we have covered up to homogeneous. There are more qualities which we'll do next week, and if necessary, the week after. There is another page. Actually, I didn't have space, so I'll write it next week, and we'll continue these. So, any questions, any comments, anything you want to add?
On existence, we can say isness.
Isness, yes.
Yeah, everything is.
Everything is, yeah. So, existence is, I am. This table is, the glass is, the mic is.
That isness.
Yet my hair is, and after some time, hair will not be, is not.
Is.
So, is and is not, but that isness is existence. Yes.
That is.
Yeah, I am.
We'll never go away.
Yes.
Oh, what's the fastest way to crack into that, you know, higher state? It seems like, you know, it seems like this is taking forever.
Yeah, actually, I read somewhere our spiritual journey is in 12-year, 12-year increments. Like to go to school from kindergarten to 12th grade. It took us 12 years, right, for school. And then after that, for 12 years for undergrad, then graduate school. So like a undergraduate and a person goes to medical school, then goes to residency and fellowship, 12 years. So 12 years in school, 12 years in college, and then 12 years afterward. So in spirituality, there are 12 years. So if you haven't done 12 years, you are still a beginner. So do not get impatient.
Even you have done 12 years, still you are big.
Still you are a big. No, then what happens is, though, no, when you do 12 years, then there is
a change.
Then there is a change.
Yeah, change.
There is a change. And then the next 12 years will. So, but it does not mean that you have to wait 12 years.
Yeah.
It will be a gradual improvement. But 12 years is when you have done 12 years of regular study, meditation, listening,
how
attending.
Much effort.
Effort, yes. But basically 12 years of effort is required to go to the next level. So if you have done 12 years, then you can come and tell me that nothing has happened.
Oh. Seems,
yes, go ahead. Yeah,
no, seems, it just seems like I want things to happen.
It will happen. But we have to be patient. See, it's like trying to open a flower, like it's a bud. You say, I want the flower to open. You forcefully pull the petals. You're going to destroy the flower. It takes its own time. So this mind, because it depends on how many vasanas we have, how many lifetimes of impurities. So all I don't know how many lifetimes of impurities I have, right? I don't know, you don't know. So all I do is in this life that my goal is that, and I keep doing service. I keep praying regularly. I keep studying and listening to talks, and I continue to meditate. And then sooner or later, when the mind becomes still in that silence, I think you missed the beginning when I talked about, in that silence, when the mind becomes still, then gradually that experience will appear. But you cannot hurry it. You cannot hasten it. All you do is, Swami Chinmayananda says,
slowly.
Hasten slowly.
Yeah,
hasten, yes.
I get like I'm jealous in a sense of people who are like, this one lady, she said she saw Jesus in church and she gave up her old life of, she was doing angel cards and things,
right.
And not that that's that bad, you know, but she gave it all up because her life has changed now because she saw, and she was just in church listening and she had an experience. So I seem to be reading about a lot of people having experiences and it's like,
but
that
experience is not the ultimate. See, what comes and goes is not Jesus. If it came and went, it cannot be Jesus, because Jesus never dies.
Okay, okay.
Jesus is eternal. Jesus was there, is there, and will be there. So if it appeared and disappeared, it's not Jesus.
Oh, okay.
It is her projection of her mind. Because Jesus is in us as life. Jesus is in us as consciousness. So ultimately discover it within. Do not chase after experiences.
Oh, so you feel it within as you're walking.
Right, and experiencing.
With you.
Yeah, do not look for a blue light.
Going
do not look for blue light, or do not look for God to appear or Jesus to appear. Those are all mental projections. If you see them, that's good. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. If she saw Jesus, that's very good. It's better than her seeing Hitler, for example.
Right,
you know. So there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not the ultimate experience. The ultimate experience is I am that. And that only can happen in the silence of meditation. So just persistently keep doing. You're doing the right thing. Just get up in the morning. Lord, be with me all day. Remember the Lord morning, afternoon, evening, night, as often as you can. Whatever name, whether you call it Jesus, you call it Buddha, you call it Guru, you call it Krishna, Shiva, doesn't matter. But be with me and constantly remember, and then spend some time exclusively, some in meditation, some in prayer, some time in study. So devote, the more time you devote, the faster will be your progress. And if somebody has seen it, good for her.
Yeah,
that's very good.
Right.
And
yeah.
Also they say these signs, these seeing things or seeing, you know, objects in your meditation, or if you say you had experience, it is like if I have to go to San Diego, right? So you go on Route 5, right? On the way, they'll say there is a highway which is 10, and then there is another highway which is 405, or these are, so these are signposts.
Uh-huh.
So these are just like signposts. You are on the right track, but if you take that, you will deviate from your from your goal.
You
will not reach there.
Right.
It will take you longer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why these experiences, sometimes people get so overwhelmed or so excited about it. Actually, they stop your growth. They will stop you from going to the goal.
Oh.
So don't pay too much, don't give too much importance to them. But they are good to have. You know that you are in the right direction.
Yes.
That means your mind is getting more and more subtle, and your mind is on it, on the path. But just keep going, because that's, realizing is not an experience. It's not an objective experience.
Yeah,
it is a subjective experience. Then you don't remain there. You see?
And there is nobody
you
to experience.
Not, then you and the experience, and there are two. It's not there.
Oh,
it's like... You know, when the river or the little water, it merges in the ocean, it becomes ocean. Then it's not separate from the ocean.
Yeah, I don't want to feel separate anymore.
Yeah, so
I want to feel like something's with me.
So that is what he's saying. You do meditation in that.
It will happen. And do not even get attached to the experience, trying to duplicate. Even if you had an experience, good. But like she said, it's a sign.
Don't tell also to too many people that all the people will come to you, and then they will, then you get sidetracked.
Then people will think she's somebody great, you know, she saw Jesus.
Ego.
So just if somebody says very good, you know, namaste, great, very good for you, and then move on.
Yeah.
But keep at it. See, persistence, 12 years, remember. Have you done 12 years?
Yeah.
You have? Okay, then you need another 12.
I've had where I feel more loving and more expanded at times. Then you come back down off of that and get angry again or whatever, you know, so you have to open
it. So it will happen. Now 12 years and the next 12 years and the next. It's a journey of multiple lifetimes. But you are already on the right track.
But I want to keep staying up there, not coming up, going back, you know.
Yeah.
So
that's for that, you have
then,
to put the effort.
Yeah.
That's like the delusion that you were really up there. See, I know I had kind of a shift. I transitioned out of the philosophy of what I call fundamental Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did have some experiences, but then the BMI, which is the ego, it attaches to the experience instead of realizing that it's not a goal either.
It's
letting go of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're there. Because there are some people that wake up one day and they're there.
Really?
But it doesn't mean that you don't... We have the responsibility, I think, you know, because we are still existing in this realm, to, you know, to do things that are congruent to the higher. But it's very subjective. It happens differently for a lot of people.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who, you know, say they have experiences, but you can just by observation see they're not really masters.
Right, and for somebody who just happened, all of you say you wake up one day, they have to have done a lot of sadhana in their lifetime. So that's why it finally happened.
It's many lifetimes.
Yes.
So just keep on doing it. Just Eckhart Tolle. Eckhart Tolle.
They just were born the first time as a human and they woke up. It's like over many lifetimes they've already done a lot of work and then one day they wake, you know.
Right. Did you have a question or a comment, something you were raising your hand? Oh, okay. All right, I think that's good. What we'll try to do is try to listen to this chanting. But I do want everybody to breathe. I find that helps me a lot. So let us breathe. You know, here we do 3 times, but at home, if you want to meditate longer, you can breathe even 5 times or 7 times. So just take slow, deep breaths. So close your right nostril. Put your fingers above your forehead. Close your right nostril and deep breaths in and out through your left nostril. If you wish, you can chant your mantra with it. Like you can chant Om Namah Shivaya or name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So breathe in, name of the Father, Son, pause, Holy Spirit. Breathe out. So chant your mantra, Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, like that. In, pause, out, and pause. And chant your mantra with it. Or you can even just chant Om as you breathe in and breathe out. Now the right nostril, deep in and out, and pause. Now alternate, breathe in through the left, out through the right, in through the right, pause, out through the left. Now bring your hands down and keep breathing in and out the same way without using your hands. Relax your body. Keep taking slow, deep breaths. I will put on this mantra and listen to it and go deep within and say that I am that. It's too loud. Can you hear it? I am that unattached consciousness.
Asangoham, 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 punah punah. Satchidananda rupoham. Ahameva hamavyayah nitya shuddha vimuktoham nirakaro hamavyayah bhumananda swaroopoham ahameva hamavyayah nityoham niravartyoham nirakaroham achyutah paramananda roopoham ahameva hamavyayah shuddha chaitanya roopoham atma ramohameva cha akhandananda roopoham ahameva Chaitanya Rupoham Shantoham Prakrite Paraha Shashvatananda Rupoham Ahameva Hamavyayah Tattva Paratmaham Madhyadita Parashivah Mayadita Paranjyoti Ahameva Hamavyayah Nana Vyapitoham Chidakaroham Achyutah Sukharupa Swarupoham Ahameva Hamavyayah Maya Tatkarya Deha Mamanastyeva sarvada Swaprakashaikarupoham Ahameva hamavyayah Gunatraya vyapitoham Brahmadinancha sakshyaham Anantanandarupoham Ahameva hamavyayah Antajyotiswarupoham Kutastasarvagosmyaham Sarvasakshiswarupoham
Now for the next few minutes, just be in silence, contemplate upon these ideas, and go deep within and discover your inner true self. If your mind wanders, just take a few deep breaths and just go deep in the silence.